Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book tomorrow?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continuing sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trotting. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Make us straight.
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today.
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
It's a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
It's a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see police?
Yep.
You wanna get shot down?
Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose,
whose light to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will he fall forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yep.
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan?
To choose,
whose side to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Alright. Gonna learn today. Alright. Gonna learn today.
All right. Shalom, and good morning. Baruch HaTuwab is an ancient Hebrew salutation and greetings. You've reached another episode of Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I am one of the teachers here with the Bible Talk. And again, welcome everybody. Welcome. Let me check something here real quick. I did work last night. I was at the job last night. I'm making a distinction between what my job is and my work is. My work is for the Most High and getting this message out. my job is, is just a job. But I want to tell you something real quick. All right. And I shared this earlier. So the reason I said that I did go to the job last night, I'm still dealing with a little bit of brain fog, everybody. So please forgive. I'm just a touch behind, working these hours, these night hours, and some of the hours they've had me on has really, I haven't caught up yet. I'm still trying to catch up. So let me do this here. All right. Brothers and sisters, I have here that our very first episode, the very first episode of Blog Talk was March 22nd, 2010. That was the very first episode that we did for Meshava's Bible Talk, which was, 14 years ago, all right? Today, March 25th. And today is the 25th, if I'm seeing it correctly. Yes, today, March 25th, is the 14-year anniversary of our very second episode. Today is our 14-year anniversary of the second episode we did on March 25th, 2010. All right? I'm just laughing, y'all. I'm just laughing that I don't know. Really, I don't know why I'm laughing. I don't know if I'm laughing because I'm just loopy or what. But, yeah, we have some milestones going on, y'all. We reached some milestones. I can't really call it a milestone. 14 years, right? 14 years. Hopefully, this will be the last year, and Christ will come. We'll be out of here. Right? That's what the hope is. All right, but that being said, as you know, we have Bible Talk Monday through Friday. All right, I keep saying Monday through Thursday, but we actually have Bible Talk Monday through Friday. All right, we're trying to get in 5 days out the week. On Mondays is myself, and I'm gonna try and get the 10 o'clock episode in every Monday in this series. The series that I'll be doing every Monday starting at we try to keep it at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Obviously, if you're like in Albuquerque, where many of our friends are at, it will start at 9 a.m. If you're all the way out there in California, the live episode will start at 8 a.m. And then, of course, if you're on the East Coast, New York, all the way down to Florida, over to Georgia and everything, then it will start at 11 a.m. And we try to do that Monday through Thursday. But on Mondays is myself. Then we try to come back on Tuesdays with the brother Tazapod Tuesdays, where he takes the first hour, does current events and medicine with prophecies in the Bible, and it goes to a topic and series that he's been covering for a while called Never Wax Pale. Outstanding class, outstanding subject, outstanding content. You want to check that out on Tuesdays. Then we're coming on Wednesdays, and guess what, y'all? This Wednesday, we're going to have the brother, Nagaya. All right, I need to take this call real quick, brothers and sisters. It is kind of an emergency, so give me 2 seconds. Here we go. Give me one second, y'all.
got a vent. You know what I mean? Rappers are guys. I got you, Pac Q.
Yeah. What do you think that your shy gon' do? You think that he coming to jump through the hoops? You think that he coming with flowers and roses and rainbows? Homeboy, you are really confused. I'm not gon' lie, I'm just gon' tell you the truth. He gave me this gift, so I'm up in his booth. And I'm venting, I'm sending the message. I pray that you hear, cause these chains are as tight as a noose. These rappers using they platform to talk nonsense to these kids. You wonder why they y'all in prison doing biz. You wonder why these young kids having kids. You wonder why they dealing drugs getting killed. You perpetuating these deals. You rap about money like it's a big deal. You selling your soul just to get you a deal. It's funny cause the money that you worshiping and nothing gonna be long gone. When you're dead in the grave and your soul gone. Then you waking up in fire and some brimstone. You gassing for air but you can't breathe. You wanna dip out but you can't leave. It's the type of heat that you ain't seen. Only one thing that you gonna need is ventilation.
What we gotta prove already rich. You can ride a Benz, we got spaceships. Big man, made the main more imminent. Navigating sky five for the non-conformant. Put on a performance, lights, camera, action. Look at the hysteria. Dress up the set, now we up in Syria. Thinking we crazy, excited, delirious. I'ma sit and jet, watch the calamity. Synagogues of Satan, yeah, they gotta be godly. Wicked, wicked world, so ungodly. Waiting on apocalypse, calculating eclipse. Defining the signs of the time by the signs in the sky. They skip Jeremiah, thinking you messing with a pretty cat. Yeah, but he alive.
Talk about CERN. Gonna crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up a little bit.
Crank it up.
Just crank it up a little bit.
Prophecy fulfilling, heathens revealing. What revelations been foretelling?
I'ma vent just a little bit.
Vent just a little bit.
Vent just a little bit.
Vent just a little bit. Ventilation.
Vent just a little bit.
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 Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talk to cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Devil can't touch this heat, pantomime. He is a liar, so said the lion, Judah. Shelter in my protector, running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big girl, home.
Rolling.
All right. You're gonna learn today. All right. You're gonna learn today.
All right. Is everything okay? There's this music playing. Thought I heard you say that you had a call. Yes, Becky, thank you for calling. Thank you, Becky, for listening in every morning through the computer. That is appreciated. I had to take that phone call. That's the brother, Kazakabar, who is going through, he's locked up, all right? And today is his court date. So when he calls, he only has a little bit of time and available to the phone. So I had to make sure I got to him to help kind of strengthen him. And that, you know, the scriptures talks about to visit those who are in prison, you know, in Matthew chapter 25. So that's one thing I try and make sure I do to make sure he gets a word of encouragement, that he gets the scriptures to endure what he's going through, to confess, not to a crime, but to confess any sins he might have done to the Most High, and that the Most High gives grace to the humble. And through the trial and tribulation, that the Most High won't give anybody something they can't handle. So as he called, again, he only has a small window of time to be able to call. So even though he called this time during the show, I wanted to make sure that I didn't want him to feel abandoned any further. You know, but sometimes we can feel. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Woe to him that's alone." I believe it's 8:11. Let me get that real quick instead of misquoting it. Woe, A-L-O-N-E. I don't need a partial match. I don't need a synonym. Search for all the words. Click. I'm sorry. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4. All right. Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And it says, I'm going to start at verse 8, all right? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, Ecclesiastes in the Bible, all right? Ecclesiastes in the Bible, which is right after the Song of Solomon, all right? Which is right after the Song of Solomon. I'm sorry, right after Proverbs. Right after Proverbs, before the Song of Solomon, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'm starting at verse 8. It says, "There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea. He hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good things? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail." Then it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." So keeping that in mind, brothers and sisters, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, that just being conscious, you know, scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You reap what you sow. Knowing that if we do the things that please the Most High, if we do those things that please God, that as Christ said and testified, that I'm never alone because I always do those things that please the Father. So just to keep that in mind and being there for others, trying to be there for others, trying to esteem others than myself. And I'm not trying to say this to brag or for vainglory, but just that, you know, let me read this too. Because sometimes, you know, the sentiment, especially here in America, be like, well, what did he do? He must be guilty. See, I didn't know y'all associated with people like that. But remember, Christ said, they said the same thing about Christ. They said they accused Christ. Well, not accused. They tried to belittle him and slander him. So this man is a friend of publicans and sinners. All right. As opposed to be this real pretentious, fake plastic religious person who's supposed to be holier than now. That's not how Christ rolled. All right, that's not how Christ rolled. Let me get this here. Let me find it. It's in Revelations. Come on now. Two and ten. How are we doing? Okay, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, all right? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the words of Christ being read, this is Christ speaking. This is what Christ said also. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Yeah, if we come back and look at what Daniel went through, where he was tempted to either serve another god and think about his own life, as opposed to being thrown in the lion's den, he chose the lion's den. He's not going to serve another god. And God was with him in the lion's den. We can look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they was offered to serve another god. They chose not to. And the fire that they were thrown into, the soldiers that threw them into the fire, those men died. That's how hot that fire was, that they died from that fire. But we read about that while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that, the midst of that actual flame, that there was an angel with them. And some say it was Christ, was actually with them in that fire. And that when they came out of the fire, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on their clothes. That when Nebuchadnezzar calling forth to come out, they literally walked out of the fire, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their clothes. So to think that we're not going to be tried, we can come back and read where Peter, matter of fact, I do want to get that one also, C-O-U-N-T-E-W-O-R-T-H-Y. When we go to Acts chapter 5, all right, when we go to Acts chapter 5, let's start here at verse 29. All right, I'm going to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. The book of Acts chapter 5, verse 29. And this is what it says here in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Praise the Lord. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Notice he said tree. Verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, which God has given to them that obey him. Message, I need to download that soundbite. Verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So this is when they delivered the disciples, the apostles. This is right after the day of Pentecost, or after the day of Pentecost happened, which is the 50th day, which is the ancient holy day that God gave the Israelites when we came out of Egypt. That, and here in the New Testament, 50 days after the Last Supper, which was the Passover, yet all the Jews that were dwelling in Jerusalem, the devout men that were at Jerusalem for Pentecost, which means 50th day, right? It's 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. 50 days later is the Pentecost, all right? And that's why all the Jews that were from every nation were gathered together at Jerusalem. And as the apostles started, the disciples started prophesying, that's when all the Jews that had been came from every other nation and were gathered at Jerusalem heard the apostles speak in their own language. A true miracle was taking place. And a lot of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the high priest, came back and was accusing and going at the apostles for what took place. And now Peter has a chance to stand up for Christ in the midst of them coming at the apostles for teaching about Christ, all right, that Christ is the Messiah. So they're on trial, all right? And when Peter said this to the Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were cut to the heart that Christ was killed by the hand of the Pharisees. Well, we know it was actually the Romans, but Christ was delivered to the Romans by the Pharisees, all right, out of jealousy, out of envy and covetousness, and not wanting to lose their position and of authority over the Jews that was given to them by the Romans, not by God, but by the Romans. So Peter said this, and they said they were cut to the heart. Verse 33, Acts chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Verse 34. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So Gamaliel, which happened to be the same teacher of Paul, right? Gamaliel's like, hold on, wait a minute. Get back up. Give him a little space. Wait a minute. Verse 35. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Be careful, y'all. You Israelites, be careful what you want to do to these apostles. Right? Verse 36. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. All right, so he said, remember that there was this cat named Thaddeus who boasted himself to be somebody, boasting that he was the Christ, boasting that he was somebody, and he even got a number of men to follow him, a number of men and their families to even follow him, and led some people out into the wilderness. And reading on in verse 36, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. All right? Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So hold up. Just because people are talking and people are saying things, don't think God ain't listening and God's not around. That just because somebody is boasting and they seem like they're getting away with things right now, or seem like things are going in their favor right now, God is still the judge of everything. Slow your roll. You ain't got to take matters in your own hands. So verse 38, Acts chapter 5, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. You ain't got to worry about it. God, if what they're talking and what they're saying is false, God's not gonna let it happen. It's gonna be destroyed. No matter how many people they might get to follow them, like this cat Thaddeus did, like this cat Judas of Galilee did. Don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. It will come to naught. Verse 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. All right? So, hey, slow your roll and let God work his work. Verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, listen to this, y'all. Read along with me. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed. Had called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So the apostles were witnessing about Christ. They were beaten and commanded, stop teaching that. Stop teaching and walking in the name of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, it wasn't the fact that they were saying the name of Jesus. It's the fact that they were acting like Jesus. Like, you know, like if you remember like in a football game, somebody gets hurt or somebody passes away, and they'll say, we're going to win this one for the Gipper. We're going to do this one for this hero. We're going to do this for this person. And they might wear a black tape around their arm or around their shoulder pad or they'll do something to acknowledge. They might all might put on the same number jersey that day. Or it'll be something to that effect that they're going to play this game Are they going to do this thing that they're take on this task that they're about to confront, but they're going to do it the same way that this person would have done it, in the name of this person. So it's not the fact that they just call out a name. The fact that they're going to take on this person's aura. They're going to take on this person's spirit. They're going to take on this person's mindset, and they're going to play the game or the play or whatever it might be as if it was that person that was doing it. But that the same zeal, the same power, the same conviction, the same devotion. So when it said, and they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go, not just the fact that about saying the name Jesus, but they operated the exact same way Christ did. That's why they were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay? So now check it out, verse 41. So this is what this council had came up with after they beat the apostles. Okay? Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Did you hear that? And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. All right? So are we getting to that point, brothers and sisters, where we're going to rejoice at being beaten, at being attacked, for doing things the same way Christ did. Not just calling out his name. I have yet to see too many people getting asked what because they call the name Jesus. But when you act like Jesus, when you take low, as opposed to asserting your power, your authority, your aggression, your anger, your what have you, that you remember that the Most High gives grace to the humble. The same way Christ humbled himself. And that Christ had the power to call down angels from heaven, 12 legions of angels from heaven, and stop the crucifixion. But he didn't take that power. He didn't use that power. He submitted himself. He submitted himself to that trial and tribulation. His crucifixion even led to his death. He submitted. He did not take power into his own hands. Which a lot of people say, man, you're a fool. Man, that's stupid. Man, what the hell are you doing? And remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul comes back and says, we are fools for Christ's sake. That the world is going to look at us and they're going to say that those that actually follow Christ, that actually do things the way Christ did things, that's foolish. Because that's not how the world does things. So here the apostles, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Think about that, y'all. To suffer shame for his name. Verse 42, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. All right? So these are examples, brothers and sisters, that as we're in these last days and we're patiently awaiting the return of Christ, that there's going to be a war. And we know this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 real quick. I said it. I know I was going to tell you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Remember this, y'all. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And it says, and the dragon, and remember from verse 9, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, what does it say in verse 9? It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. So the dragon, the serpent, called the devil. So the dragon, the serpent, the devil, called Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see the dragon is also the serpent, which is also the devil, which is also Satan. All right? They're all the same. So we read in verse 17, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. So the dragon, the devil, the serpent, you just said it, Mustafa. The dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan, all right? They're all the same. They're the same entity. Was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So for those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a war against them. All right? The dragon, the devil, Satan, the serpent is going to have a war against those that will keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's just a given fact, y'all. That's just a given fact. that, and let's read verse 12 now, Revelation 12, verse 12. Why? Why is there going to be a war against those who keep the commandments and that have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil, and who is the devil? The dragon, the serpent, and Satan. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So as the devil is understanding the devil, the serpent, Satan and the dragon, this society, as they understand that their time is getting shorter and shorter, and that more people are waking up and keeping the commandments of God, more people are waking up to the testimony of Jesus Christ and dealing with the prophecies of Christ. Because Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 tells us that the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That as we keep dealing with this and we're dealing with the prophecies and our faith is getting stronger and in the word of the Most High, irregardless of the trials, tribulation, and things, going back to Revelation chapter 3 or chapter 2 now, and try and put a cap on this real quick, and verse 10, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil, who is the dragon, who is the serpent, who is the Satan, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. We're going to have tribulation for whatever, 10 days. I'm not sure what the 10 days means. For a certain amount of time, there's going to be tribulation. It says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. All right? Like the apostles did. So the apostles understood what was going on. They understood that to be kind of worthy to suffer for Christ, all you're doing is making a crown a little bit more shiny. All they're doing is assuring that the fit of that crown is going to fit perfectly on their head, to be faithful unto death. So I just want to go over that, brothers and sisters, that let's not get this high sedity, arrogant type of mentality that others must be going through, because they're evil, they're wicked, they're wrong, they're hell. If Donald Trump isn't going to prison, come on, y'all, stop. Stop. I'm just saying like that. As I look on the screen on my computer, and they just showed Donald Trump. Come on, y'all. They're about to give him the Republican seat to run for president again. An MF-er who was impeached twice, who was responsible for leading an insurrection, a sedition. Is going to be allowed to run again? We cannot go back and look at people because they're thrown in jail, that there must be something wrong. Now, the Most High only chastises the ones he loves. We know that. But let's not get this high sedity type of thing and let fear control and rule us so damn much that now we forget to be there for others. We forget to help one another. That in these days, anybody can go to jail and be locked up for anything, for keeping the commandments of God, for acting like Christ, for having charity. Have y'all seen that? You know what? I need to put that class together. I think Tom Paul might have gone over it years ago, that you can get a ticket for feeding the homeless. Here in San Antonio, at one time, you can get a ticket for feeding the homeless. I believe in Albuquerque, they have the same law set up in Albuquerque. When we were there, that you have a lot of homeless people in Albuquerque, the streets of Albuquerque, that they used to be like, you know, on the medians at the streetlights. And they'd have the cardboard signs, you know, that would work for food. And if you brought some food to them, you could be given a ticket at one time for bringing them food, for feeding the hungry, which, you know, is ironic, ain't it, that in a place that says, on their money, in God we trust. For a place that says, on their money, in God we trust. In a place that says have a song, God Bless America. That for a place that has, and when you go to their courthouses, you go to their courtroom, you go to their judges, They will have you testify and swearing on the Bible, then put the Bible down and judge you by man-made laws. Over 30,000 man-made laws since the inception of the United States of America. The federal courts of the United States of America, a privately owned corporation, but over 30,000 man-made laws, will judge you according to their law, their man-made laws. But after you've already sworn allegiance to the Bible, have you already sworn allegiance to the Word of God? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? So we're in these days, brothers and sisters. I'm just put that warning out there. We're definitely in these days, okay? We're definitely in these days. With that being said, I'm going to stop apologizing. I'm going to stop apologizing for that. All right, cool. As y'all know, we're associated with several schools across the country. The Sword of Truth here in San Antonio was located at 4444 Walsham, Suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78218, being the address there. They have classes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. And on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., they have Sabbath class. All right. Check them out on their YouTube channel, Sword of Truth San Antonio. All right. To our school in Houston, the SOW Houston, Texas, Stream of Wisdom, located at 231 Evan Road, 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477, being the address there. They have classes every Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then Saturday, Sabbath ceremony, starting from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can catch their YouTube live channel every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then also on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. All right. For our school there in Houston. So classes is Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. All right. You want to check them out. Okay. And their YouTube channel every Wednesday, right? Their YouTube channel every Wednesday, which is the SOW Houston, Texas Stream of Wisdom. For our school in Norfolk, Virginia, all right, located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517 being the address there. Their class is every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday as well, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And Saturdays, the Sabbath ceremony, starting at 12 noon. You can catch them live on Facebook, their Facebook Live channel, SOW Norfolk, Virginia, Stream of Wisdom, every Tuesday and Thursday, Facebook Live from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Times. Catch a YouTube channel every Friday night, SOW Stream of Wisdom, Norfolk, Virginia, every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then the Sabbath ceremony on Saturday starting at 12 noon. For the school up there in Rochester, which is growing by leaps and bounds exponentially, I was watching the damn TI podcast and trying to get that word out, mixed in my head. The SOW Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom, located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, Suite Number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606. Classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. You can catch them on their YouTube channel from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That is the SOW Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom. Again, Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Brothers and sisters, please check out the Hidden Truth Bible Show, Israelite Media Corps, 5 Minutes of Wisdom, and their show, the YouTube channel, Hidden Books. All right. As you know, some schools are in the midst of honoring the Passover right now. For their calendar calculations, we're in the midst of the Passover right now. We are having a Passover convocation or a Passover dinner, which is going to be March 31st here in San Antonio, hosted by the Sword of Truth. But the official Passover, according to the Mashua Yashala, the House of David, and the families and elders living in the actual land of Israel, Passover is actually April 21st. All right? The Passover is actually sundown, April 21st, beginning Feast of Unleavened Bread as well. All right, so be sure to check that out. And please check out the brother Asher White, who also calculated the true Passover being April 21st. All right. Reach out to Brother Ice, area code 505-218-4218. He's up there in Albuquerque holding things down with the Stream of Knowledge, okay? And with that, brothers and sisters, as I get ready to send this prayer up, I ask that you get all these names and add these names to your prayer list as well. So with that, we ask the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to help, to protect, to build up, and to deliver. And Father, we ask that you might please forgive. Father, please forgive. And Father, help strengthen our infirmities. And Father, we ask that you might bless, according to Numbers chapter 6, that you might bless, that you might keep. Father, we ask that you might please make your face to shine upon, meaning turn and look back upon us. Please don't ignore us, Father, for without you, we are nothing. We need your protection. We have been foolish in turning away from you. We've been foolish in ignoring you. We've been foolish in not appreciating your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, your opinion, your determination, or your judgments, Father. And we ask for your forgiveness, Father. We ask that you might make your face to shine upon. And Father, be gracious. Father, please lift up your countenance upon. And Father, please give peace again to our sister Yapaya and to her sister Arlene. To our sister Tina Gomez, the mother-in-law of our brother Abad Karadazar. To our brother Abayar, all right, to our brother Warner Iyer and his wife Ayana. To the sister Naya, the wife of our brother Yawa'ab, and to their newborn children, Salah and Shiloh. To the brother and father of our sister Ayana, Chad, and to his son Cammy. Father, we ask that you might be with them. Father, please be with the sister Bobby Dixon, the mother of sister Kalia, the wife of our brother Ariyah. Father, please be with Sierra Leek, who is the daughter of our brother David. Father, please continue to be with our brother Thalmor Macha and Waradiah, a.k.a. Abba and Amma, and to their family, Father. To our friends up in Albuquerque, to Becky, to Daryl, and to Carmen. Father, to my in-laws, the entire Lovett family, including Aunt Sally, Ernestine Morris, Charlie Westbrook, and Edna Jackson. Father, our continued prayers going up for the entire Coates family, including Robert and Lucius and their mother, including all the Coates. There's so many names. To Ben and Dahlia, to all the entire Coates family, Father, including Gina Robinson up there in Dallas, Texas, Father. Father, we pray for the brother Thawam Mayum out there in Houston. Father, we also pray for the brother Thawam here in San Antonio, West Beverly. Father, we pray for some special needs children. For Cece, the daughter of our brother Tazapah and his wife Arakaya. For Aiza Lee, the daughter of our brother Gabar Kawa and her mother Anagasha. And Father, we continue prayers going out for Aliyah, the daughter of our brother Barabad and his wife Kwadashaya. Father, continue prayers going out for our brother Tazapah and his entire family, including his mother, Miss Catherine. And to Miss Catherine's help, Father, Miss Barbara and her husband, Mr. Charles. Father, continue prayers going up for our brother Yanawatan. To our family out in Florida, Yabaya Allah, his wife Aisha, to her mother, Ruthie Mae Johnson, to the family of our brother Sean Kwadash and his wife Mariah, and to their son Kazakia. To our brother LV out there in California, Father, and to his mother Pat Washington, and to his cousin Lashonda Washington. Father, continue prayers going out for our sister Kwadashaya, the wife of our brother Bonabad. To our friends, Sean Stark, Sylvia Khan. Father, continue prayers, please, Father, for our brother Yama, who is locked up right now in the Lovett County Jail. To our friend and our brother, Father, Kazakabar, who does need your help, Father. Please be with him right now. And with his mother, Maria, Father, please help strengthen them. And Father, please be with his sister, Ainawa, here in San Antonio, the daughter of our brother and our friend, Gayalaba. And Father, according to Numbers chapter 6, it says, and they shall put your name upon the children of Israel, and you will bless them. So Father, we ask that these things might be done as we try and strive to continue to be like Christ and following his example and following his way of doing things and esteeming others better than ourselves. Please be with them, Father, and please give forgiveness to all of us, Father. And your continued long suffering and your continued mercy and grace. Father, remember, as you even said, Father, that our life Is it, Father, is if you quote in Esdras, that it says, I'm sorry, Ecclesiasticus, Syriac. Father, it says that, what are 1,000 years to eternity? That 1,000 years to eternity is like a drop compared to the ocean. So, Father, if 1,000 years is like a drop of water compared to the whole entire ocean. And, Father, we barely live now because of our sins and our iniquities. We barely get to the age of 70, let alone to 100. Father, we ask that you might continue to open up your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. And to remember our latter end, Father, that we are nothing. That we really are nothing. And that for you even to consider us, Father, we thank you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, so we got that going on. Cool. I need to take a quick break. I'm going to try and take the quickest break possible that I possibly can. And then we're going to come back and get into this class. All right, we're going to come back and continue on with the class. So I normally do back to life, but this ventilation is just dope. So I'm going to do this real quick. Give me a few minutes. Take this. I know from this morning we heard a lot of music and everything, and that was for having to help this brother out who's locked up, who has a court date today. Okay, and not to throw him under the bus about what he's going through, but just hopefully give a little understanding for everybody else. Right, and continued patience. But here we go.
What do you think that your shy gon' do? You think that he coming to jump through the hoop? You think that he coming with flowers and roses and rainbows? Homeboy, you are really confused. I'm not gon' lie, I'm just gon' tell you the truth. He gave me this gift, so I'm up in his booth. And I'm venting, I'm sending the message. I pray that you hear, cause these chains are as tight as a noose. These rappers using they platform to talk nonsense to these kids. You wonder why they all in prison doing biz. You wonder why these young kids having kids. You wonder why they dealing drugs getting killed. Perpetuating these deals. You rap about money like it's a big deal. You selling your soul just to get you a deal. It's funny cause the money that you worshiping and nothing gonna be long gone.
Wow.
When you're dead in the grave and your soul gone.
Whoa.
Then you waking up in fires and brimstone.
Whoa.
And you gassing for air but you can't breathe. You wanna dip out but you can't leave. It's a type of heat that you ain't seen.
Not at
only
all.
One thing that you gonna need.
What's that?
Ventilation.
Need just a little bit.
Preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
your hour shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
All right. Okay. Brothers, forgive me again. I'm gonna stop apologizing. My youngest son is home sick today, so I just had to check on him real quick. You know, make sure everything is kosher with him. So it is what it is. All right. Let's continue on with this class, all right, y'all, this series. It's part 17, y'all. It's part 17. Build your house upon the rock. Now, remember this. As I was thinking about this, let me find this scripture. One second, y'all. Come on, where's the scripture at? Here it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please follow me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, check it out, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, and this is Paul. There's a lot of division that was in the church, right? There's a lot of division that was in the church. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He's like, I can't really talk to you about spiritual things. Because you're a babe in Christ. When it comes to this thing about Christ, you're a babe. When it comes to understanding how Christ actually did things, the anointed, that's, remember the word Christ means, the anointed, the people are very inexperienced, all right? So I can't talk to you about true spiritual things, about what this meant or why we do this, it leads to this. Paul said, I can't even talk to you about that type of stuff, all right? Verse 2, it says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He's like, reading on, "For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now we're going to address some of the things that made these men carnal. This ain't the only things that makes a person carnal, but these are the envy, the strife, and the division. These are the things that makes a person carnal. But now he's going to address what envyings, strife, and contentions that were going on in Corinth at this time. But this can apply anywhere. Envy, that doesn't have to be what was going on here just at Corinthians. For the example of how they were being envious, for the example of how they were strife, for the example of why there was division. But we can use these examples, but the point being what? Looking at the envy, the strife, and the division. Now, well, the envy, strife, and division that was happening in Corinth is covered in verse 4. "For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos." Are you not carnal? So you had two teachers that were teaching Christ, but you had some people that was trying to make too much of the fact that Paul was their teacher. And I was like, well, Apollos is my teacher, as if Christ was working more with one than the other. And trying to get, again, even back then, kind of dealing with that holier than now, more righteous, God loves me more than he loves you. Almost like, you know, how children operate and act. Like God loves you more, God loves me more because he gave me this. And because I mean, I remember when we were kids. Pause for a second. I remember when I was a child, when I was younger, with my I have a younger biological brother. His name is Kaharag. All right. His Hebrew name is Kaharag. But when we were younger, just having, if you will, sibling rivalry, if we want to take it there, right? If we want to take it there. And for whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, we know that spirit envy, it stays in a, it, we're born with envy. All right. I don't care who you are. You're born with envy. And you can see that in children. That let a child be playing with one toy, put that toy down and start playing with another. Let another child come in and pick up the toy that is not being played with and look at the contention. And it seems like some of the first words a child learns is mine, 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 mine. And it almost seems like the first thing that parents are trying to teach children is share. So envy is naturally in us. God's law is not in us, but envy definitely is, all right? So one is trying to, you know, big up themselves or the others, and my teacher's more righteous than your teacher. We got a more pure way. We got a more right way. And Paul is saying, for y'all to even have that type of mentality, you're carnal. You still don't get this. You're looking for acknowledgement. The word I'm looking for, you're looking for validation. And the way we look for validation is to be, quote unquote, more righteous, more holy. I'm better than you. Look at how they don't do this. Look at how they act like this.
look at how they're like this, but look at me. I at least I do this. At least I'm like this. We read about the Pharisee and the sinner and the publican that were in the temple. And the Pharisee went there just boasting and bragging about all that he was doing. And now he just knew he was in there. And one of his accusations was, and I'm not like this publican here. This dude had the audacity, I guess, say this stuff out loud. And all the publican would say is, I'm a sinner, forgive me. All right? But this spirit of, I have to validate myself by being better, holier, dressed better than you, look better than you. That, again, and keeping with the topic of what this series is based around, my esteem has got to be based on the praise and the approval of everybody else around me and not God's approval. Not being validated because of what the scripture says. So here you had students that were being taught the actual Christ, taught Jesus, but because one was being taught by Paul and the other was being taught by Apollos, there was contention. Verse 5, and this is Paul speaking about this. He says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Look, Paul, I'm a teacher. That's all I do. I'm giving you the word. Apollos, all he did was give you God's word. All he did was give you Christ's word. Why are you getting caught up into the name? I'm going to keep reading it. But like verse 5 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Why is my name even being mentioned? Reading on, it says, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The one who planted the seed in you is nothing. The one who might be watering the seed of Christ that's in you is nothing. It's all praises to the Most High in Christ. All. Right? Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What work are you doing? Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Talk about the one who plants, the one who waters, the teachers. They're both laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Not Paul's. Not Apollo's. Not me. You are the building of the Most High. All we are is just ministers. Giving you God's word. Giving you God's word. All right, verse 10. Listen, read along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Christ is the foundation. These scriptures is the foundation. But a person is supposed to take these teachings, and you're supposed to be building your house. You're supposed to be building your relationship with the Father. It says, take heed how you build thereupon. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. Don't try and come back and restart everything. It all starts and begins with Christ. It all starts and begins with the scriptures. Don't uproot that. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. I hope we're catching here, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold. How well are you paying attention to the foundation that the house you're building is gold? Or the work that you're putting in is silver? Or is precious stones? Or is the amount of work, the amount of studying, the amount of application that you're putting in to this foundation, to these scriptures, the words of God, the words of Christ, the words of the apostles, is the effort you're putting in only going to amount to wood? Or is the amount of effort you're putting in only amounting to hay? Or is the amount of effort you're putting in amounting to stubble? Now, many of us might be familiar or remember the story of the three pigs and the wolf. One built his house of what was a stick, of hay, of wood, and of brick, right? And the big bad wolf came, and he huffed and he puffed, and he blew the house down until he got to the house made with brick, and he couldn't do nothing against it. So using that metaphor and that children's story, how well are we taking the teaching of Christ, the words of Christ, and we're building our house? We're building our faith. So now, think about this now. Gold is tried in the fire. Silver will survive fire. Matter of fact, the fire will burn out any impurities in the gold and leave it pure. Same with silver. Precious stones can withstand heat. But if your foundation you're building and the effort you're putting in is only wood, as the tribulation comes, as the afflictions come, and your faith is the effort you're putting in is only amount of wood, what does fire do to a wood house? Let alone, what does fire do to a house? Imagine building your house out of hay. And if worse than that, you build your house out of stubble. The effort you put into building your relationship with the Most High in Christ by taking heed, by studying and applying their word, is what you're putting in only going to amount to stubble? Is it going to amount to hay, wood, or is it other caliber of being a precious stone? Precious stones will survive a house fire. You can still find the jewelry. If a diamond was put in some fake-ass metal, guess what will still survive the fire? That diamond, that ruby, that emerald. Real silver, it'll survive. Real gold, it'll survive. It'll melt, and you just find that gold necklace. It'll just be it won't be a necklace anymore. It'll be a puddle, and once it gets cold, hardened again, you have like whatever the hell you have. But if it's wood, hay, or stubble, and that fire hits it, come on, y'all, real quick. Remember what Peter told us. As we read here about Paul, remember what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Let's remember the words of Peter. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're going to be tried by fire. All right? We're going to be tried by fire. We can't get around that, y'all. We cannot get around that. The trial, tribulations, we can't get past that. But as we go through these things, how well have you prepared yourself? How well have you let your spirit get prepared to deal with these things? That's the question, all right? That really does become the question. Like an open book test, have you studied? Check this out, y'all. Please follow me. Let's keep a hold of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But let's go to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. It says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Verse 11, "For mine own sake." He's going to put each of us through the fire of affliction, through the furnace of affliction. There is no getting around. Tazapa did a class. I'm going to try to just big up and blow up Tazapa. But it says, let another man praise thee for thy works and for what we have going on. He went over baptism. He went over the series on baptism. Good Lord, brother. Says, if y'all, I ain't going to say that. Let me not say that. If you building your faith and understanding is not based on the scriptures and research and study, and you have a man putting in the work and the effort to try and make it as clear and digestible as possible. He covered the series on baptism. Excellent series. I believe it was it might have been a 7 or 8 part series that he went through baptism from front to back, and from the baptism of water to even what it means to be baptized with the fire and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Excellent. He went through that. It's available for you at blogtalkradio.com. All right. Type in baptism. All right. It's going to come up. Every class we ever did about baptism will come up. And you can see where Tazapa did his whole series. It's there. Please go check it out. It's for your benefit. All right? It's for your benefit. Somebody's putting in the work to help you study. Somebody's putting in the work to help you get the words of Christ in the Most High. All right? So verse 10 again. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Why? Verse 11. For my own sake. Even for my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. So Christ, this is what the Most High is telling us. We're going to be put through the fire to see where we at. Whatever it is you're building, the amount of effort that's being put in is going to be tried. Christ wants to know who you are, what you are, what you're about. How much do you believe? Or is it a bunch of mouth service? Bunch of eye service. The only time you do it is when someone's looking. Otherwise, you're doing you. All this is going to be, everything done in dark is going to come to light. What you're really about is going to come to light because you're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be put to the fire of affliction. I dare anybody to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. And read about how and why. Barabbas covered that in his class on Friday. Barabbas covered that faith this past Friday, dealing with faith. And his anchor was Hebrews chapter 11. How our forefathers got famous with God as they were tried in the fire. Their faith was tried in the fire through the afflictions, through the things they was going through. To prove their love, to prove their loyalty, to prove their belief in God and his word. That's only, even God, let me pull it. Let me not say it. Let me prove it. Let me pull it. In Ecclesiasticus chapter 6, verse 7, in the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus chapter 6, verse 7, it says, if thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not hasty to credit him. Are you what the instructions of the Bible tells us? If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not hasty to give him credit. These are the instructions of the Bible. The instructions of God. And if we love God, guess what one of the things we'll be doing? If we're going to show our loyalty to God, guess one of the things that we will be doing? One of the things we just mentioned right here. Prove them. Like we're going to be proved. Like we are being proven. So as you're building your house, brothers and sisters, gold, silver, precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? How are you building your house? How, because each of us is responsible for building our own houses. You know, like the saying goes, you made this bed, now you got to lie in it. If you short-sheeted yourself, that's on you. You didn't make the bed proper. Now it's time you try and stretch out in it and get comfortable in it, but now you can't. That's on you. You made this bed. Now deal with it. Now deal with it. All right? Now, all that being said, where am I at? Well, I need that. I definitely need that. One of the last scriptures we finished with last Wednesday, well, the only scripture we went over really was Proverbs, all right, the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 27. All right, was the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 27. And I'm going to read that again just real quick in the King James Version. And brothers, I'm seeing something about myself I'm seeing something about myself. It takes me a minute to get warmed up into a topic. It takes me a minute to get my words together, my thoughts together. As I try and really think about how to segue into what is being presented. So it does take me a while to get to the point. I'm saying that about myself. All right? I'm saying that about myself. I'm going to work on it. So, King James Bible, Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. So we want to stop listening to instructions that cause us to go away from God's knowledge, from God's knowledge. All right? We covered this on this past Wednesday that passed. All right? I forget the date. It was episode 16. All right? It was episode 16. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 10 through 16. But before we do that, going to Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm sorry, 3. I said 3, but I meant 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And I'm going to go through the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary. All right? Let's go to the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary on Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. Check this out. Check this out, all right? The commentary for Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. It says, one false prophet built the wall, set up the notion that Jerusalem should be victorious, and made himself acceptable by it. So during this time, the time of Ezekiel, there was a false prophet even back then among the Israelites, among the Jews, believe it or not. And for some of the stuff he was teaching, just like we read in a similar fashion, like we read in Acts about this cat Thaddeus and a cat named Judas of Galilee, how they were doing some teaching and doing some things and actually had people following them. All right? Now, this, remember, things were in the foretime for our learning, and there is nothing new under the sun. So here, during the time of Ezekiel, in chapter 13, it says, one false prophet built the wall. Now, a wall, brothers and sisters, is supposed to be for defense, literally for the defense of the actual city, Jerusalem. All right? You might see some of the old movies where they have the high walls built around the city to protect the city, to protect what's within the city. And you have the gates of the city. And they'll say, close the gates! All right? Even around a castle, they might have a similar type of setup going on. Well, the walls of the city are supposed to protect the city. And then there's usually supposed to be only one way in and out of the city. That's the main gate, the main gates, where the elders would be at, where they would hold court at the gate of the city. And if you committed a crime that was worthy of death, worthy of being exiled or banishment, it was all done right there at the gates of the city. Kick rocks. Time for you to go. Either unalived, or you can stay alive, but you ain't going to be living here. So here, this false prophet is actually trying to build up he's trying to give people a false sense of hope, but in trying to give them a defense by building up a wall that I'm going to let it read for itself. So again, the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary for Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. One false prophet built the wall, set up the notion that Jerusalem should be victorious, and made himself acceptable by it, that God was finished punishing us, and now those that were living back in Jerusalem are going to enjoy happy days. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy days. That is going to be, don't worry, be happy. All right? Others made the matter yet more plausible and promising. They daubed the wall with the first, which they first had built, but they would ere long be undeceived when their work was beaten down by the storm of God's just wrath. So they're actually building a wall, like a defense, and you had other false prophets coming like, yeah, it's going to work. And you got everybody feeling good, and they're building up, but they think it's going to be their defense. A defense, kind of like, I don't give it away. And so you built, and it looked good to the eye, and the God sent a storm and knocked the whole damn thing down. But while they was building this wall and had these false prophets and this false, and saying, yeah, this is going to work. Yeah. And it was covering it and making it look beautiful until God hit it with a storm. Reading on. When the Chaldean army desolated the land, hopes of peace and happiness not warranted by the word of God will cheat men like a wall well-dabbed but ill-built. So in a similar fashion, are you building a wall, building what you think is a defense, and you put a lot of effort into it, but it's not based on God's word? It's not based on God's prophecy? And you're putting a lot of effort to build what you think is going to be your defense, or what you think is going to protect you, and what you think is going to really help you out. But when God's storm comes to test, do you believe in him? By believing in his word. By holding on to his word. By his word actually abiding in you. Old Testament, New Testament, and the Apocrypha. Studying to show yourself well approved unto God. Is your wall going to really stand the test of time? Is your wall really going to stand what God's going to bring to it? All right? Now, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 says this. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untemperate mortar. So we read the commentary first. Usually I don't do that, but I wanted to read the commentary first, all right, from the Master Henry Concise Commentary. Now we got to the scripture. That because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. We're gonna dive into this a little bit, y'all, and we're going over the 2-hour mark. All right, most likely we're going to go over the 2-hour mark. All right, so cool. Now, in dealing with being seduced, all right, that there's a lot of things. Thank you. A lot of people, because of how turbulent things are in the world today, because of how Paul warned Timothy that in the latter times, there should be perilous times. There's going to be some real perilous, dangerous, hard times. We can't get away from that. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence in diverse places. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be every man for himself. It's going to be wild out here. And because of these things, and God said he's going to test each of us in the furnace of affliction, it's quite understandable why a person would fall for someone promising them hope. It's understandable why a person would fall for somebody promising them peace. If you do it my way, if you're having financial woes, then follow my plan, and you'll get out of those financial woes. And that plan could be anything from go to school, go to college, get a degree, get some certifications, to invest yourself in sports and get that scholarship. Invest in AAU from youth, so that when the time that young person gets of age, they have a sports contract and get some of that LeBron James type money, I guess. Or if that's not available, Go sell drugs. Go sell drugs. Go sell your body. Get that quick money. Become a YouTube influencer, a TikTok influencer. Do something. Make money because of what we're going through, because of the things that our people are going through, which is proof of how bad things are in the world today, that each of us is looking for a peace. Not peace, P-I-E-C-E, but peace, P-E-A-C-E. Why are so many immigrants, so-called immigrants, coming up from South America, Central America, through Mexico, at the southern border trying to get to the United States? Why are so many people trying to come from Haiti, from Cuba, and from the islands, trying to get to the United States? Because of the American dream, which truly is a dream, that this supposedly is a land of opportunity. That for whatever woes, trials, tribulations that you might be facing in whatever country that you were born in, you'll be able to find peace here in America. From all the TV shows, from all the reality, so-called reality TV shows, the YouTube influence, the Facebook influence, the social media influence, that America really ain't that bad. America. So, here we see, again, in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10, it says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. So, everybody's got this surefire way of comfort. Everybody's got this surefire way of helping somebody escape what it is they're going through. Yeah, more motivational speakers than a little bit. Yeah, more drugs on the market. Is that, you know, on TikTok? I'm a TikToker right now. And from the TikTok store, just on everything from sea moss to black seed oil I guess they call blue chews, about how to last longer in bed, how to get a bigger willy, a harder willy. I mean, they're really going at this hard. CBD gummies and just escaping and trying to find some type of mental peace from whatever trial, tribulation, or pressure we're going through. So we're sold a lot of snake oil, a lot of BS. And our people are gobbling it up because of what we keep going through. And then, again, being influenced by things like Facebook, YouTube, that, hell, on Facebook, YouTube, everybody looks like they're doing fabulous. Taking cruises and they're with the family smiling and enjoying food. And they're being foodies and they're giving food reviews. And you have cats that are becoming millionaires. I'll say thousandaires. They're becoming thousandaires critiquing food. Let's get it. Let's try it and rate it 1 through 10. Yeah, people imitating food critics who are getting numbers of subscribers and making money off of it for imitating another influencer. Trying to find some peace. Trying to find some mental peace. Not turning to God's word, which God gave to be the comfort for as we're going through the trials and tribulations that we're being faced with. That is to try our faith. We don't do that. We keep putting our faith and hope in all these other things that's supposed to guarantee peace. And one of the main ones is that financial peace. Or that, you know, the peace that comes from being lonely. So people are on dating websites. People doing everything they can to try and find some self-esteem. Working out like a mother. Dieting like a mother to where if that's not working fast enough or long enough, plastic surgery. How do you get makeup tattooed on your face? Makeup. How does a person will actually go and get their lips tattooed? How do they actually go and get what looks like eyeliner permanently tattooed around their, on their eyes? Or eyeshadow permanently tattooed? How many people are getting rich from being into cosmetics? Skincare. You have East Indians. Come on, I know y'all seen it if y'all used to go to the mall. And they're actually shaving and shaping people's eyebrows using thread. And they put a part of the thread goes in their damn mouth. And they're somehow using this thread to pluck the eyebrows off of people. Because their self-esteem is that shallow. Not the people doing the threading. The people who are getting their eyebrows threaded. So they figure that by doing this, this is going to make me feel good about myself. Because if you look good, you feel good. Which is totally opposite how God says things. Because with God, if you feel good about yourself, you're going to have an aura. Especially if you feel good about what you're doing for God, you're going to have an aura. What did Moses have when he came off the mountain for every time he went and talked to the Most High? Moses had to put a veil on his face because his aura shined that bright that the children couldn't even look him in the eye. Things that make you go, all right? So it says they seduced my people, all right? Ezekiel 13 and 10. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10. Let me pull it back up as I got to go back and forth through some of these scriptures and through some of these commentaries. Chapter 13, verse 10. And dealing with being seduced, right? And dealing with being seduced. When we go to 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9, this is several scriptures about being seduced. All right, several scriptures about being seduced. And we're going to get the word seduced also. We're going to look it up. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9, and we're going to go past 2 hour mark, y'all. This passage is going to go past 2 hours. All right? It took me a minute to warm up, plus ain't having to help a few other people. We're going to go past the 2 hour mark. So it says, in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9, it says, but they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. If we go back and look at the history of the Israelites, we had kings, leaders, that seduced our people to do more evil than the other nations that the Lord had destroyed that were residing in the land of Canaan while we were in captivity in Egypt. Manasseh, this king, was seducing the Israelites to even more wickedness than what the nations that were there before us were doing. So, and being seduced and trying to find your mental peace. So, like, I mean, from now, if we think about this, if we did more evil than the nations, go back and read Leviticus chapter 18, y'all. Really, you can read Leviticus, the whole book. But particularly Leviticus chapter 18, it goes into different types of incest and fornications, including sex with animals. The things that the nations were doing in the land of Canaan while we were in captivity in Egypt, and then we got freed out of Egypt and came back to repossess the land that Moses, that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That says that we were seduced to do even worse than that, meaning follow your heart's desire. I've covered this series, y'all. I have covered this series. When you read the book of Judges, when we read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 14, it says, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, added by Lamb, which their fathers taught them. And brother said, how many of the traditions that we keep today did we learn from our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, from the culture that are evil in the eyes of God, but it's just part of the culture tradition that kept getting passed down within the family? That to be seduced by Manasseh, for everybody to follow their own imagination, for everybody to follow their own sense of righteousness. Come on, y'all. As we live in this era of the LGBT, of the alphabet community, as we live in this era where you can be whatever the hell you want to be, whatever you imagine yourself to be, this was similar to what was going on with the Israelites by the leadership we had then. Follow what you think is right or what feels good to you. Follow your own heart. Follow your own imagination. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, remember. I got to come back here. I might have to let this go. Remember Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It's one of the anchor scriptures I always keep, you know, I've rotated around a lot. But remember, Christ told us that as in the days that were before the flood, it's going to be the same way as in the days that were before the days of Noah. That it's going to be similar when he returns. When he makes his return, it's going to be some similar things going on. Remember Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And it says, I'm starting verse 1 and read down. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So God, we were already scheduled to be immortal, because it says righteousness is immortal, but it says the wages of sin is death. So when Adam sinned, that brought death to humans. Okay? But we read where Adam was the second oldest man in the Bible. Methuselah was the oldest. Methuselah was Noah's father. He lived like 975. But Adam lived like 947. I forget. It's not important. But we see where, because of sin, Adam didn't even live 1,000 years. He would have lived longer, but his time was cut down to 1,000 years. And then the time steadily kept getting cut shorter and shorter and shorter. And God's like, I'm not going to keep fighting with y'all. If I keep fighting with y'all, I'm going to wipe everything out. Keep effing with y'all. But you know what? I am going to cut y'all's lifetime down to 120 years old. That is to go from what was supposed to have been immortal to 1,000 years, to less than 1,000 years, to now 120 years. If one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and we had to go over this, I'm not going to look it up right now. We went from going a day with the Lord to now we're down to 120 years. This is before the flood, y'all. This is before the flood. Now, in Psalms chapter 90, Psalms chapter 91, now he says we might get 70 and maybe 80, but it's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. So Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm not going to keep fighting with y'all as if, I'm sure we're familiar, I've heard before, your arms are too short to box with God. We got this thing where we keep thinking we're going to out-wrestle or out-wit or out-fight God, and that we're going to make God and have God submit to us. He said, look, I'm just going to cut the time down shorter. You're not going to live that long. We went from immortal to less than 1,000 years. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, y'all. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Man's created to be in the image of God. God don't die. So that's why I think we were built originally to be immortal like God. But the wages of sin is death. We sinned. We chose to sin. We chose not to follow the voice of God, but the woman decided to, and chose to follow the voice of the serpent, which is the devil, which is Satan, which is the dragon. She brought that madness to her husband. He decided to follow her in that same lunacy, in that same demon democracy. I said it. And now the wage of sin is death. So we went from immortal to less than 1,000 years to now. And that was Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Five chapters later, God's so sick and tired of fighting with us, he just said, cool, I'm just going to have y'all live at 120. Y'all think I'm going to sit here and waste my time and continue to just fight with you? Look, if you ain't got it in 120 years, then you ain't going to get it. We had to hit the reset. I'm going to keep letting y'all live these centuries, and y'all ain't trying to change? Back that, 120 years. Verse 4, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, these giants, we can say that they were giants as far as in stature, as far as, like, their physical, actual physical bodies. 10 feet tall, 20 feet tall. They were giants, okay? There were those, but there were also giants like, Donald Trump is a giant in business. Steve Jobs was a giant in technology. Bill Gates is a giant in technology as well. You have Hall of Fames in every dimension, every craft, everything you possibly think of, where you have the Hall of Fame records kept for people who are giants in their industry, in their craft, in their skills, in their athletics, in their mentals, in their book writing, in their song singing, playing. There's giants. All right? So, yeah, we did have both the physical giants, but also giants in achievement. And think about this, y'all. This thought came to me. Why do they say short people have a Napoleon complex? That for as bad as a commander, for as bad as a great, meaning great, of a general that Napoleon was, they say he was short. And that's why he was overly aggressive in the way he was. So, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. We've covered this so many times. Being men of renown. This before the flood. Now, and I see I got 2 hours. I'm coming to the 2 hour mark. And I want so bad to continue, but I know people's attention spans is dwindling. Renown, fame. So it says, when we read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. What does renown mean? From Webster's 1828 dictionary, renown. Men of fame, celebrity, exalted reputation derived from the extensive praise of great achievements or accomplishments. Now, guess where he gets this from? Guess where Webster got this from? The example he gives is giants of old, men of renown, Genesis chapter 6. He also goes on and says in Numbers chapter 16. Now, that is noun as a, that's renown as a noun. Renown as a verb means to make famous. So these men, whether they had fame, celebrity, exalted reputation derived from the extensive praise of great achievements or accomplishments, these men were, they were mighty men that were made famous. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, we covered this, the series we did on Nimrod, the true worship of Christ, that 30-part series, we covered this. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So right after describing how they were men of renown, they had great achievements. They became famous. They became celebrities. Because of their achievements, all this is before the flood. And because of this, look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Because of a person's achievements, their celebrity, their fame, it says wickedness of man was great in the earth. You know what that lets me know, brothers and sisters? Just because you might be doing well now, don't mean God's really with that. Just because by outward appearance, it seems like what you got going on is something great to where you get famous for it, you become a celebrity for it, it becomes known as a great achievement among men, that don't mean that God approves of it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Brother, can y'all conceptualize this at all? Can we? We go from Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of air, and everything that creepeth on earth, and over the whole entire planet. Let him have dominion. And God saw that it was good. How did it go from God seeing that it was good, and it was the sixth day? We get to Genesis chapter 6. Again, five chapters later. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. So that now, brothers and sisters, if we go back to, again, I know I'm over the 2-hour mark. I do want to go a little further. When we go back to Ezekiel chapter 13. Actually, we weren't even here. We were in 2 Kings. Let me get that. We're in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9. It says, but they hearken not. That there was always prophets, true prophets, trying to tell people the right way to go. As far as was right in the eyes of the Father, was right in the eyes of the Creator, what is right in the eyes of God. But, again, 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 9. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. That's a hard one to swallow. meaning accept. We did more evil than the nations that the Lord destroyed before we got to the... We did more evil than the children of Canaan. And it was leadership approved because it looked like prosperity. It looked like something we could hold on to. Because it looked like it was working. Brothers and sisters, when we go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, it says, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. To do things right in the eyes of God, that will make you more excellent than your neighbor if you're doing right in the eyes of God. God will look at you and approve you to be more excellent than your neighbor, especially the other nations. Among the Israelites, yes, we would excel above the nations. And that you can read that throughout the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, Deuteronomy 32 and 7, Amos chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Book of Malachi. God chose the Israelites above all the other nations, our neighbors, all right? But it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. Instead of continuing to do right in the eyes of God, the righteous will get seduced by the ways of the wicked. Somebody can be doing right in the eyes of God, but the way of the wicked will come back and seduce them, then now doing right by God doesn't work. You know the saying, guys finish last. You can't sit there and be humble. You got to take the bull by the horns. Again, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. We get seduced, y'all. Then now we start thinking that doing things God's way somehow is wrong because the people in the world are getting over. If we're not careful of these things, it says the things written aforetime meant for our learning. If we're not careful and being observant or attentive to these words, to these scriptures, we're going to stop following the instructions of God. Which again, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. My son, if you don't pay attention to the instruction of a father, you will soon meditate and design evil things. Remember, we went over all those versions of Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 last Wednesday. All that still holds very true. That we're being presented the right way of doing things right in the eyes of God, but it tells you that the way of the wicked will seduce you. What is that one again? When we go to Jeremiah chapter 23, 23 is a powerful chapter. Jeremiah chapter 23, starting verse 13. I'm going to read through this kind of quickly. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 13 through 15. It says, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They have prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. So while the kingdom has been split, the kingdom of Israel has been split into two nations, two kingdoms. The northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah or Judea. All right. After King Solomon's reign, because of his evilness and him being seduced by all the women he dealt with and all their gods and leaving, going away from the Lord God. The consequence for that was that when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam was to reign, then now the kingdom was going to be torn from Rehoboam. And that Rehoboam would only keep three tribes, and that the other 9.5 tribes, they were going to depart from under Rehoboam's authority and become the kingdom of Israel. And Rehoboam will be the king, or have the kingdom of Judah or Judea. So, and then Samaria became the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, while Jerusalem remained the capital of the southern kingdom of Judea or of Judah. All right. So in verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 13, it says, "And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria." So I've seen the foolishness of these fools in Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. And we covered Baal, y'all, which goes into Nimrod worship, which goes into modern religion worship on so many levels. We covered that. Can't go into that again. Not extensively. Verse 14. I've seen also in the province of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Come on, y'all. A bunch of faggots and freaks have turned the Israelites into during this time of Jeremiah. That everybody walks where? Not only in adultery and walking in lies, that the hands of evildoers were strengthened to keep doing evil. Follow your heart. Follow your mind. So that none doth return from his wickedness. And remember, according to Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, the definition of wickedness is a person who's where God is not in all his thoughts. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. So you have prophets that made sure our people that their mind, their thoughts were not on God, but on what they saw and what they felt and what they were thinking about. And the prophets were not correcting this. Verse 4:15. Jeremiah 23:15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Now everybody's doing profane. Not saying cuss words. Everything out their mouth is off. Everything they're talking about is wrong. This is why Peter came back and said, seeing that everything's going to be destroyed and going to be burnt by fire, what manner of holy conversation should you be having, seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved? What should we be talking about, saying that God is about to bring destruction? First, he brought destruction through the flood. Then he promised Noah, I'll never flood the earth, the entire earth again with water. He said nothing about fire. The fire is coming. I know we're not supposed to, that people want to say, oh, the fire and brimstone, fire and brimstone. Hey, it's not written for no reason. It's not written for no reason. And the prophecies are coming true, whether we want to admit to them or not. The prophecies are coming true. That we're definitely living in the end times. Brothers and sisters, please check this out. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. This is Paul giving this, who wrote this letter to Timothy. But God saw fit for it could be applicable to us today. We can apply this wisdom, this understanding to ourselves today. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Listen to the voice of God and follow the voice in your head. Follow the voice of people around you. Stop following God. Follow that little voice in your heart. If we can't see that this is being pushed in society today more and more and more and more, I guess the admonishing I want to give and the warning I want to give is, are we examining ourselves to make sure we're not getting caught away in these lies, this flood of lies, this flood of this mentality, just follow what you feel is right. Come on, y'all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to get this later on in the class. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In the last day, the days we're definitely living in today, we understand that from this letter Paul wrote to Timothy was about 2,000 years ago. If we can't relate these things to what's going on today, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brothers and sisters, are we getting caught up in these lies? Are we getting caught up into this mentality of follow what you feel is right or what's in your heart? Follow what you think is right. And then surround yourself, get it. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, I wish this was a lie. I'm on TikTok at the job I work. I listen to a lot of classes. I put classes together, but I'll get into social media to help pass the time. And I'm watching TikTok, and I came across this one. I forget who the creator of, but he has this series he's doing about worst freak accidents. And the one it's the first time I'm me seeing his content, he's talking about there was a man who was an engineer and another man that was a truck driver. They were trespassing into people's barns and getting with the stud horses. And at first I thought they were penetrating the horses. No. They were being penetrated by horses and filming it. And one of these gremlins, the horse serrated his colon, and he wound up dying. I don't want the picture I don't really want that mental picture to form, but I almost have to let that mental picture form. Not him running up behind the horse, and I'm thinking maybe he got kicked by the horse. They had repeated videos of these two, and there were others in some of these videos also, of being penetrated by horses. To where one horse, in penetrating this man, serrated his colon. It ripped his colon, and he bled to death. Can't make this up. This is the mentality in the world today, y'all. Some stuff that a person, I would never imagine this, that would be a thought, but guess what's going on? Follow your imagination. One man would have thought, what would it be like to be done by a horse? And then to find a group of other men that are, yeah, what would that be like? And then they do it repeatedly. To where one of them dies from it. And this wasn't back in the 1800s, the 1700s. This was like recent, like 2000, like 15, 16, 17. Imagination. If you get a thought in your mind, just do it. You get a thought in your mind, go for it. You get a thought in your mind, I'm loving it. You get a thought in your mind, have it your way. This is what's happening out here, y'all. In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. The Moabite Revelations. John, the beloved, the one who his relationship with Christ, he can lay his head on Christ's shoulder. John, the one who Christ told him to watch out for my moms after I'm gone. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduced you. If this type of mentality is not going to be taking place in the world today, then why were these things written in the Bible for us to read? When we look at the definition of seduce, that's just 1828. Number one, to draw aside or entice from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner by flattery. So to be seduced is to draw aside someone, to entice from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner by flattering somebody. Number two, to entice, to surrender. I'm sorry. Definition number two of seduce. To entice to a surrender of chastity. Give up your morals. Give up your morals. Be enticed. Be seduced. And let somebody flatter you with it. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 10. Where it says, Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. When we read in the scripture where it says that, here's a commentary. It says, these false prophets pretend to be a wall of defense, but their wall is bad, and their mortar is worse. One gives a lying vision, and another pledges himself that it is true. And the people believe what they say and trust not in God nor turn from their sins. I'm going to have to make a part two of this. I'm saying I'm going on 2.5 hours. I'm going to make a part two of this right here, which I'm going to do next Monday since the guys will come in on Wednesday. But damn, brothers and sisters, damn. Are we walking circumspect to make sure that we're not being seduced? To just follow what we think is right, what we see is right, what we feel is right. And then we have people that are trying to give us or promise us something that is a defense. Something that looks strong, that looks sturdy. But it has nothing to do with to the eyes. It looks good. To your heart, it feels good. Come on, brother. It says we can and must do better. It says that we have these false prophets that do what they're doing, and then we have a false prophet building the wall, and then we have false prophets coming back and dabbing it with untempered mortar. When we look up the untempered, when I look up the definition of untempered, but I'm going to use the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia for untempered. So this wall is being built, and it's being a lot of effort and labor being put into it, but it's a weak wall. And you got others coming back and putting untempered mortar around it, trying to make it look pretty, like it's really something, like it's really established. For those who've been in construction, if you build a block wall, y'all might not be familiar with this, but not a brick, but a block wall. There's all types of steel and rebar going up through the wall. That from the concrete floor, the slab that's poured, your floor. Right now, your floor, it might be covered in carpet. It might be covered in tile. You might be living kind of good. Whatever. Maybe you got wood floors. But that's on top of the concrete. Right, or on top of plywood, on top of concrete. The foundation is concrete. When they first start putting this building together, they build what's called footers, which is what your foundation. That's going to keep the building stable and be able to support all the weight of the building that's going to be in the ground. All right, so that you don't get the Leaning Tower of Pisa type of effect. And in the floor, the concrete floor, you have all type of preparations that go on. Like if there's going to be pipes, there's going to be plumbing, there's going to be electricity. That all these pipes have had to be laid in this floor, and then when they pour the concrete, that the pipes are going to come up through the concrete. But you also have a lot of steel rebar, little metal pieces of steel that are also coming up through the concrete. As you're laying this block wall, you lay the blocks on top of one another, but make sure that the steel rebar is coming up through, or just like maybe some of the pipes, the water pipes or the electrical pipes, are coming up through these walls that are going to be inside the walls. But it's particularly this rebar, and it's called rebar, which is short for reinforcing bar. All right. Now, as you put this wall up, you go up about maybe four or five rows of blocks, and then you pour concrete in each one of those holes. Especially where the rebar is at, coming up, sticking up. And what you do is, as the wall keeps getting higher and higher, you just tie more rebar to the rebar that's there and keep extending the height of it as you keep laying block. And for every four or five rows, you come back and you pour concrete. So that essentially, that block wall is a solid concrete wall with steel going all up through it. Now, that is a wall that can be for defense. And you have different thicknesses that you can make the walls. For the most part, they're a block wall, a cinder block wall will be like, if I remember correctly, is I think it's 8 inches wide. But by the time you have that concrete, you have a real actual wall that's got steel going up and down through it. That it's going to take a wrecking ball, a ball that weighs a ton, if not more, to smash through these walls now. Unlike the wood construction that most buildings and houses are built with now, actual block walls. All right. So now this wall that was being put up for in Jerusalem, it had no reinforcing bars in it. And then the mortar or the plaster that was being put on top of it was weak. It was all for show. Stucco, those who might know a little bit about construction. So now, in dealing with untempered mortar, from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, as untempered, from Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 through 15, and Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 28, it says, probably refers to mortar made with clay instead of slacked lime. In the interior of Palestine and Syria, walls are still commonly built of small stones or mud bricks, and then smeared over with clay mortar. The surface is rubbed smooth and is attractive in appearance. This coating prolongs the life of the wall, but requires yearly attention if the wall is to stand. Ezekiel uses the practice to typify the work of false prophets. They build up stories and make them plausible by an outward semblance of truth, while in fact they are flimsy, unreliable prophecies resembling the walls described above, which can be broken down by a push or a heavy rainstorm. So, brothers and sisters, as we're building our house, are you really building your house on the words of Christ and the prophecies? Or are you letting somebody feed you what you might consider today to be a defense, stability, but it's not based on how God gives a defense or how God gives stability? Mind you, just because you didn't build your wall the right way doesn't mean God's not going to test it. You're still going to get tested. Finishing with Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 11, it says, say unto them, which, let me pull up on my eastward. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 11. Well, I'm going to start at verse 10 again. Just read down. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them, which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? So all this preparation, all this outward semblance you put to trying to beautify this wall, make it seem like this is going to be somebody's defense, that this is where their peace was going to be at, that this is where their stability is going to be at, that when it falls, will it not be said, hold on, I thought y'all daubed it already. I thought y'all was putting all that mortar, the clay mortar, not the real mortar, the lime-infused mortar, the concrete and lime-infused mortar. Y'all found some beautiful clay, you know, like makeup. And it was covering these walls. And the walls weren't, they were flimsy, but you went through a lot to cover up the mistakes, the weakness of this wall, to try and make it look beautiful, try and make it look strong, but it really wasn't strong. Now, and this is what people make their defense. They think this is going to be what's going to keep them stable. But when God comes to test it and it falls, it's going to be asked, didn't you trust in that? When somebody's trying to tell you that's not what God wants. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and it shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Verse 14. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, like during an earthquake and buildings collapse on one another and kill everybody inside the building? Yeah, verse 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. Everybody trying to sell you this pipe dream? Like what the serpent did with Eve in the garden? This is scary, y'all. Verse 16. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, said the Lord God. In short, what you're looking for to be a defense, stability, in this current world, is it going to survive the prophecies of God? Is your spirit, are you building your spirit the right way, the way you're not building your, hope, your dreams, and what you're working hard at in vain? All right, so with that, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end the class if it hasn't already ended. Thank you for tuning in. And check back in with us tomorrow for Talk Spot Tuesday. And tomorrow is March 26th. Right, tomorrow is March 26th. So check in with us tomorrow, and we'll see if it's going to be Talk Spot Tuesdays in the morning, or will he be coming back tomorrow evening at 7:30 Central Standard Time with another episode of Talk Spot Tuesdays. So with that, for Bible Talk, my name is Mashallah, and I'd like to say shalom.
Hail Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.